Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in time for Daily Editorial. We got a good one this morning. Some really good things have happened. I would have to say that we countered very effectively the Democrats' three-ring circus that was on television on Tuesday. We very definitely countered that. And I'm happy to say that it looks like we're going to win big time. It looks like the Supreme Court is going to win for us. A couple of decisions that Jimmy informed me about this morning have come down that are very, very important. Jimmy, let's start with the one that you think is the most important.
Well, the most important one, and the one that stretches beyond actual the decision and the agency that was involved, was a case against the EPA by the state of West Virginia and coal companies. And basically, the EPA had regulated the carbon emissions for coal companies to force them out of the industry, out of business. They sued, saying that they don't have the power. Those companies and the state of West Virginia sued, stating that they did not have the power. The EPA did not have the power to do that. And the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that they did not have the power to do that. And the reason why this is so important, because it basically is not allowing federal agencies to make law. And of course, the Constitution is very clear. Congress has the right to regulate commerce, not the executive branch. Mm-hmm. And what's happening here is for the climate agenda, they were attempting to shut down the coal and, of course, the carbon fuel industry. We're seeing the ramifications around the nation for that, for the prices and the stupidity of this administration's, real lack of understanding of the impact. And this case not only hits the EPA and the Biden administration, but every regulatory agency inside the federal government's executive branch. The Congress has to be more specific. And, of course, that's the responsibility of Congress to get more involved to do some of this regulation,
right,
to make it clear. And that's where, again, some of our more cautious Republican members of Senate and the House are absolutely in bed with some of the other influences that are out there infecting regulations. So this was a really, really important decision.
You know, something else that I think is really important that's come up in America is what has happened as a result of the investigation, which was televised just very, very recently here. I want to talk about that before we talk about the other Supreme Court decision, Jimmy, because I think it's really important. It would appear that the Republicans are going on the defense big time, and they have evidence, hardcore evidence, that Liz Cheney and her girlfriend lied. And I believe we have phone records along with everything else that basically is irrefutable evidence that investigation was conducted absolutely fraudulently. Let's get your comments on that, Jim, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious. They've had this last minute, surprise witness, Cassidy Hutchinson, that was a member of Mark Meadows' staff,
yeah,
that was on the White House staff, as he was, of course, at the time, White House chief of staff, that said President Trump tried to grab the steering wheel of the beast. Okay, if you understand the limo, if you've been around it at all, you know that that would be almost impossible for him to do. Absolutely ridiculous that he was that. Actually, she stated, or Liz Cheney actually held up a memo, and she said, yeah, that she wrote this memo giving some comments for the president. But in fact, the president's lawyer said, no, I wrote that. She did not. And then she said that Mark Meadows and I believe, I can't remember the other individual, had requested a preemptive or a pardon for involvement in February or January 6th. And of course, Mark Meadows came out and said, she's lying. Just straight up, she's lying. I never did it, and I don't do it, and I'm not going to do it. And that would be consistent with all the very strong-willed characters on the Trump administration. Here's the problem, though. She lied. The media took it. They went with it. Even the right-wing media, even Washington Examiner, conservative newspaper, and a never-Trumper newspaper. And they took that and ran with it. And there are very few corrections out there and people coming back apologizing that, in fact, this was a lie. And how we know it's a lie, the Secret Service agent said they will testify under oath that it didn't happen with the vehicle, that Meadows came out and said, no, that's not the case. There's conversations and discussions with it. And the lawyer clearly has the upper hand on the note. So these things, that's basically the excitement of her deposition or her statements in the hearing. It turns out they're fraudulent, which actually really undermines the credibility of the entire January 6th committee, if it needed any more undermining. And I really don't think anybody cares about it. And according to the latest polling, it's at the very bottom of anybody's concern. January 6th is not at anybody's concern. But let me tell you who it is at concern with. The Biden administration and the Department of Justice continue to push this agenda because they are using it as a justification to influence local political elections and national political elections to target individuals that have questioned the outcome and the legitimacy of the election. And, of course, even arrested the leading Republican candidate for governor of Michigan for standing on the steps of the Capitol on January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's backfiring because he's like skyrocketing in popularity now that people see that, in fact, he was standing up for a purpose and a principle. But at the same time, there are numerous people. Tucker Carlson did a phenomenal piece last night. People mm-hmm. should look at his opening statement talking about the number of people that have been arrested in the United States from the Department of Justice and the Biden administration that are affecting political speech and actual political races. And I think, you know, this is actually the sign of so deep, such a deep level of corruption that it's going to have to be cleaned out, and they're going to have to get the exact same treatment they're putting other people, but there will be evidentiary proof that really bad things have happened under this administration. And they're, and my idea and my view right now, they are very short-lived. They have made so many enemies, and they really don't have the popular support to carry forward based on all the polling right now.
Jimmy, I have to say that I hope that you're reading your research, the numbers that you're coming up with. I hope that they are not. I hope that they are irrefutable, and I'm not saying that they're not. I really hope that we are absolutely going to go another direction in our country during the elections, as a result, I guess I should say, Jim, of the re-election this month and or this year, and of the new elections in 2024. I really, really hope and pray that that is the result. Now, the other Supreme Court decision that you wanted to talk about, Jim, which is also very important, is the situation with the Mexican immigrants. Please elaborate on that.
Yeah, basically it was the Remain in Mexico policy, and the Supreme Court just handed out a decision a little while ago, a couple hours ago, that allowed the Biden administration to cancel the Trump-era Remain in Mexico policy. And basically the policy was, if you came up to the border, then you would have to stay in Mexico to pending your case for removal. And it was from not Mexican citizens directed at it, but the rest of the people that came through Mexico across the border illegally. Now, it was a 5-4 decision. It's definitely undermining the border and the ability to push people back away from the border.
Mm-hmm.
Texas and Missouri had filed a lawsuit saying that this administration couldn't just get rid of that policy, that it was still valid and there was enough information in the policy that made it clear. But the Supreme Court, with Gorsuch and Roberts, siding with the liberals, said no, the language was not clear enough, and in fact, Congress did not intend to make people in their statute go back and wait in Mexico pending, you know, a review. Now, what this means is, in the short term, it's like, oh, okay, very damaging to the immigration policies, right? Because we're allowing many more people to come in, and according, you know, to the, all the polling and all the numbers, there's really, this is the record number of illegal immigration.
Yep.
And very dangerous and damaging. So that's bad. But here's the other side of it that you could look at, potentially as a good, it's allowing the administration, the executive branch and Homeland Security to make broader decisions on when people come in and out. So in the short term, it's damaging, and hopefully it won't do too much damage. It's doing a lot right now. But in the long term, it allows another administration, the next administration, to come in and actually become stiffer, which gives the credence of, you know, we have more authority to make these types of policy decisions. I hope that's where Roberts and Gorsuch were going with it. I hope it wasn't just based on the political politics, but it does relieve them for a little bit, both Gorsuch and Roberts, from the pressures from the left. I mean, there's a, you know, this decision is favored right now by the Biden administration and a lot of the lefties. So it may tamper down the Roe v. Wade type of issue. And it was also announced after the EPA regulatory decision. And those both, you know, were the Roe v. Wade versus the EPA regulatory. Those are, you know, really, really politically hot charged issues. Though the EPA decision actually has a much deeper impact on the government than the Roe v. Wade does.
Explain your rationale behind that statement, Jim.
So Roe v. Wade actually, you know what, the decision overturning Roe v. Wade just puts it back to the states, right?
Yeah.
So politically it's charged, right? And it's very, we're seeing all kinds of violence and activities, which if you look at the polling, Joe Biden and the Democrats are actually going down after the decision, 5 days after the decision. They're going down in polling numbers still. Mm-hmm. So, all right, that doesn't have, you know, and again, it doesn't affect all the agencies in our federal government. It's just a political hot topic. But the EPA, that affects every regulatory agency in the federal government and hamstrings them from putting regulations on that impact the economy, and right. It's going to change the way that they can actually put in place policies that support their political agenda,
yeah,
and will force them to go through Congress in order to make specific legislation to address some of their issues. And it looks to me, with numbers like an 80, according to the latest, some of the latest polls, 85% disapproval rate, or I said, I shouldn't say disapproval rating, but 85% of the American public think the United States is on the wrong track. And, you know, these are like incredibly bad numbers for the administration. And included in that, believe it or not, is a tremendous number of Democrats. Like, I believe it's something like 75%. Or more Democrats think we're going in the wrong direction, and most everybody is blaming the Biden administration.
Yeah. Jim, I want you to send me a link to that. That's a very, very important piece of information. We need to post it on our site, Jim, and I will do that as soon as I get the link.
You bet. Gateway Pundit's publishing the polling data.
Okay.
And we're seeing it across the board. Biden is now down at the worst numbers ever, and he's down below, actually, or equal to Richard Nixon at the height of the Watergate scandal.
Okay.
So these are tough numbers for him.
They are tough numbers. We got to put them on the site. Jimmy, I'm going to post the daily editorial right now, and then I'll post the numbers as soon as you send me the links. Thanks so much for your time, James.
You bet. We'll talk to you in a bit.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.